It's good to be here, be back again here at Black Creek, and always an enjoyable time to see some of the familiar faces once again. That's a blessing. And if you have a Bible, you might want to turn to Luke chapter 16. Who knows what Luke chapter 16 is about? Luke chapter, you should know some. If I said 1 Corinthians 13, what, something.
Charity.
Good, charity. Luke 16 is on hell. Except I'm not going to be preaching on hell. I'm going to be preaching on the other apartment next to hell. Amen. Luke chapter 16, if you would. And I'll begin reading a few scriptures, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and I'll get into our teaching tonight. And it's a little participation. I'll need your help a little bit during the teaching, so stay tuned in, all right?
Amen.
Amen. Here we go. Luke 16, I'm going to begin verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. My text for teaching this evening is found in verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Let's pray, shall we? Our gracious Father, I'm grateful to be here tonight. Thankful for people that have made that choice and decision here in the middle of the week to be in church. And Father, many of them are eager to hear, to learn, to get a fresh breath from heaven today. And God, I'm not much, and I don't know a whole lot, but I do know you, God, and I'm grateful and thankful for you and for you sending your love towards us and sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in our place, that we could have forgiveness of sins, the assurance of eternal life. I'm grateful for that Holy Spirit you put and indwelt in each believer here tonight. And I'm thankful for the Word of God, which yes, liveth and abideth forever. Please help us, teach us, be with us, bless us tonight, God, as only you can. And we'll thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to talk to you a little bit tonight about Abraham's bosom. What does that mean to you, Abraham's bosom? Well, when I think of Abraham's bosom, I think of a place of safety. I think of a place of security. I think of it's a place of rest, you know, that sort of thing. And Abraham's bosom is a literal, was a literal physical place, and where Old Testament believers resided after they died on the earth. And so maybe it's an enclosed park, if you please. You know, that sort of thing. Maybe almost, I think it was probably a wonderful place, almost like the Garden of Eden. Of course, you can read about the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, but maybe Abraham's bosom was like the Garden of Eden. And where was it? It was in the center of the earth, but we'll look at that a little bit more here in a minute. Why is it called Abraham's bosom? What do we know about Abraham? Somebody want to give me something? What do you know about Abraham? You have to speak up real loud because I am deaf. And let me turn up my hearing aids a little bit more here too. Go ahead, someone say it.
The founder of the Jewish nation.
The founder of what?
I still didn't hear. The founder of the Jewish nation.
Okay, very good. Somebody else, Abraham. What do you know about him?
He was the one that God gave the covenant to.
Yes, he is. Well, we know that the scripture teaches us that Abraham also was a model father. The Bible tells us back in Genesis 18:18, seeing that Abraham, God saying, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he spoke of him. So he was a model father, really, in the Bible. Somebody said, we know that the Abrahamic covenant was given to him by God. You read about that in Genesis 12, right in verse 2, where God says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so there's a special covenant that God made with Abraham. Something else about Abraham, too, that we know that this covenant was renewed. We know that it went on from generation after generation, and with the son of promise, Isaac, and of course, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, or Israel, and Joseph, and so on. And we know that Abraham was a man that was justified by faith. Right? In Genesis 15:16, it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 4, when the Apostle Paul spoke of Abraham, he said, what shall we say then of Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham, he said, were justified, if he was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, right now, today, he goes on to say, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if you think you can work your way to heaven today, it's a debt that you'll never be able to pay. Because God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he says to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, like Abraham's, is counted for righteousness. Amen. And so James writes, the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So Abraham not only believed in God, and we know that even the devil believes in God, right? The angels believe in God. Everybody believes in God. You meet a lot of lost people. They'll say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. But Abraham did more than believe in God. He believed God. He believed God. He believed God's word.
Yes.
And he's called the friend of God. So he has a special place named after him, Abraham's bosom. We read about that in, oh, there's something else in Galatians chapter 3. In verse 6 says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Do you know there are many gospels in the Bible? There are many gospels in the Bible. There's a gospel unto Abraham, which is, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Right now, we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 6, concerning Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. And in Revelation, you read about the angels that preach the everlasting gospel. So there's seven, actually, if you want to count them and do a little research and study. There's seven different gospels in the Bible, but the one for today, of course, Peter proclaimed Acts 2:38, the gospel to, you know, a bunch of Jews that just realized they killed their Messiah, and they said, what do we do now? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So there's lots of gospels in the Bible. There's only one for today, right now, and that is we need to believe and put our faith and trust in what Christ did for you on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. In the New Testament, we call ourselves saved or Bible believers or born again, you know, that sort of thing. In the Old Testament, they were referred to as what? Just believers, right? Believers or men and women of faith.
Yep.
That sort of thing. Or followers like unto Abraham. Under faithful Abraham. So when Old Testament believers died, they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. All right? They didn't go up. They went down. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom. Now, what's a bosom? A bosom is an enclosed place. All right, a bosom is within the interior. It really implies, according to our text, a place of intimacy, a place of affection, a place of confidence, a place of security,
yeah,
a place of rest,
right,
as I said already, a place normally hid from view, a place of care. That's what bosom means. So, where is this place? Where is Abraham's bosom? Well, our text said in Luke chapter 16 that it is across the gulf from hell where the rich man is, right? Isn't that what our text said in verse 16 and 26 that we're going to read, but it's across the gulf from hell. It's divided. It's divided. You have hell on one side and you have Abraham's bosom on the other, and it's divided by a body of water. It says, and the rich man could actually see Lazarus. He could see what was going on in Abraham's bosom. And he could even talk and communicate across this body of water.
Right.
And he says in verse 26, he said, and beside this, between us and you, this rich man is saying, you know, if you would, could you send Lazarus, put a drop of water on my tongue, and you know, and so I can be refreshed or whatever. He's tormented in the flames of hell. And he said, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And by the way, who would want to?
Right.
Who would want to pass from Abraham's bosom and go into hell? So that's what I see taking place here in Luke 16. Now, is this place called Abraham's bosom referred to by any other name in the Bible? That's a question. Anybody know the answer?
Paradise.
Paradise,
that's right. Paradise, that name, paradise, is found three times, I believe, in your King James Bible. Luke 23, if you want to turn over there. I'll start reading in verse 39. Luke 23, 39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said, Lord, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Yes. So this lost, dying sinner repents. Jesus sees his heart. Doesn't need to be baptized. Because water baptism doesn't save us.
That's right.
All right?
Yes, sir.
But he just says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus looks and knows his heart. Says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, where did Jesus go that particular day? Anybody?
Hell and back.
To hell and back, all right. Not that day, because he actually spent a few days down there, right? Because it says, because he said in Matthew 12:40, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Where is hell? It's in the heart of the earth.
Right.
So where is paradise? In Abraham's bosom, in the heart of the earth, across the gulf from hell. All right, where is hell? It's in the heart of the earth. Matthew 25:41. Then shall they say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's a place of everlasting fire. Isaiah says that hell hath greatly enlarged itself without measure, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. So that's where hell is, in the center of the earth. Where's Abraham's bosom in paradise? Yes, sir?
Center of the earth. Yeah,
the center of the earth. It's in the heart of the earth. It's air-conditioned enclosed area. I don't know what any better way to say it. It's like a park. It's probably like the Garden of Eden. It's called paradise for a reason, because it's like paradise. Amen. That's what it is. It's a confined place, but yet it's a very comfortable place, a perfect place, a very pleasant place to be. And what did Jesus do those 3 days and three nights when he's in the center of the earth? I need your help. Yes, sir?
Pray.
You know all the answers, don't you? You've been reading my notes? Amen. Anybody else? What did Jesus do those 3 days and three nights?
Preach the souls in prison.
Yes. What took place? Well, 1 Peter chapter 3 gives us a hint to that, if you'd like to turn there. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. First Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. And he says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And then he clarifies it by putting it in parentheses, not getting wet. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Not washing yourself or getting dunked or whatever, all right? He said, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So they were saved by having an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So these, who are these spirits? In prison, I'd submit to you that they are the Old Testament believers, men and women of faith in Abraham's bosom and paradise, who sometimes were disobedient. You know, all God's children are sometimes disobedient. Yeah. Does that disqualify God from being God then? No, he's still God. I believe that what Jesus did when he went to the center of the earth those 3 days and three nights was that he preached to the spirits, to those individuals that were in Abraham's bosom or paradise. And I believe what he preached unto them was probably he was clarifying them, preaching them what he did, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his blood atonement for us and for the forgiveness of sins. And he explained to them, I believe, what his plan of redemption was for all mankind. And then what took place? Then what took... He's got the answer again. I know. What took place?
Him raising back from the dead.
Yeah, he came right back up again. He is a smart... Is he going to be the next pastor of the church? Got it. That kid has got it. Ephesians 4:8. Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So I think one of the things he did is he led captivity captive. All those people that were living in Abraham's bosom in paradise, he led them out of there. And the psalmist says in Psalm 68:18, it says, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. And have you not read in Isaiah 61, probably familiar verses to you, that this 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So I think that's what one of the things he went to do.
Yeah.
I think he went to cast our sins as far as the east is from the west.
Sir.
He did a couple of things. He got rid of, dumped all our sins in hell, and he went over into Abraham's bosom or paradise, and he preached to them concerning his death, burial, and resurrection, and then said, all right, now come with me. And they ascended up on high. In fact, the Bible even reminds us of a time. This is interesting. A time when the graves were opened and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holiest city and appeared unto many. Don't ask me any more questions about that, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I just find that fascinating.
Yeah,
it's like some of them took a detour and walked around the cities a while, and or a side trip, back to see grandma or something, I don't know. And then they ascended up on high. I almost forgot about the gifts, too. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men, the Bible tells us. Gave gifts unto men. What do you suppose those gifts were? iPads?
No.
iPhones? Rolex watches? Flat screen TVs? No? It's probably not it. You got an answer?
Scriptures?
What?
Scriptures?
Scriptures? That's a possibility. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. I think the gifts that Christ gave them was eternal life. I think when he went to paradise, Abraham's bosom, he preached, he told them, he explained to them his death, burial, and resurrection. They were believers. They believed in God and they tried to live for God. And yeah, they were a little stubborn, a little rebellious at times, just kind of like Christians today.
Right.
Jesus preached to them concerning his death, burial, and resurrection, his blood atonement. And they're all like, okay, we understand now. We get it now. And I take him all to heaven and gave him eternal life. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, where is paradise today?
In heaven.
It's taken up.
In heaven.
Anybody else? Where's paradise today? What does the scripture say? Well, remember Jesus told the thief on the cross, he said unto him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that day, Jesus went to the center of the earth. That's where paradise was. All right, but where is it right now? It's, if it's there, it's empty, right? If it's there, it's empty. It's an empty lodging still across the gulf from hell. And maybe that facility is what the Roman Catholics are leasing to use for purgatory.
No, it's
not there. There is no such thing as purgatory.
That's right.
And paradise is not in the center of the earth anymore.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In our New Testament and years following the resurrection of Christ and the supposed transporting of Old Testament saints from Abram's bosom or paradise to heaven, we read this about the Apostle Paul, and probably written after he was stoned and left for dead. I think it was Derby, outside the city of Derby, if I remember correctly. And he writes this in 2 Corinthians 12. I think what he writes is what we refer to as an out-of-body experience. You've heard people say that, right? I had an out-of-body experience. Well, I think if there is such a thing, Paul had one as well. And it says, Paul writes, right in verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. It's not profitable. It's not advantageous to me. I'm not glorying in this at all. He says, I will come to visions and to revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Interesting portion of scripture. Mm-hmm. Now, where is paradise? Paradise is up. Mm-hmm. It used to be down. Now it's up, right? It's in the third heaven. Did you know there were three heavens? The first one, the birds and the airplanes fly, and the second heavens is where the sun, the moon, the stars, and third heaven is where the throne of God is. And he's caught up to the third heaven. And he's caught up into paradise, the third heaven. Paradise is no longer across the gulf from hell in the center of the earth, but it's now in heaven. And then we read in Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 7. Another interesting part of this story. Revelation 2:7 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Didn't we read about the tree of life somewhere in the beginning of the Bible? Mm-hmm. Where was that? It was in the Garden of Eden. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. And now we see the tree of life is in the midst of paradise. Genesis 2:9. Genesis 2, verse 9. And we'll look at a few verses in Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 9. What do we know about the tree of life? Out and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. Didn't we just read about the tree of life in the midst of paradise in Revelation 2:7, and now Genesis 2:9, the tree of life was in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Look in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. He drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So, interesting. You know what? We're no longer talking about Abraham anymore. It's not about Abraham. It's all about Jesus Christ and what he did for us. It's all about him in paradise, in heaven, with our Heavenly Father. Amen. That's where the tree of life is. And we're going to get to partake of that tree of life as well. And not only are we living forever, and we'll continue to live forever, but it's also for the healing, it says, of the nations. So where the tree of life is interesting, because it was on the earth, and then it was under the earth, and now it's the earth, paradise. The Garden of Eden was on the earth, and then the Garden of Eden, Abraham's bosom, paradise, was under the earth, and now it's up in the third heaven. And so off in eternity, we read this in Revelation 22. If you want to go to Revelation 22. Right at verse 1. I love to hear the turning of the pages of the Word of God. Amen. Just not for long, all right? Get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says in Revelation 22:1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life." Where's the tree of life? Go ahead.
On the other side of the river.
It's in heaven. It's in the midst of paradise, which just happens to be where the throne of God is. That's what that verse said, tells us. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know what else I read in the New Testament? The commandments of Jesus Christ. I have disciples. I have to teach my people discipleship lesson. I call it discipleship 1. Or 101, whatever you want to call it, type thing. And we go through about 20 lessons, and we take probably 10 months to go through that, and then I go through discipleship 2. Discipleship 2 are the commandments of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And we'll go another 20, 25 weeks easy with the commandments of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And I tell people, "Do you love Jesus?" "Yes, you must keep his commandments." What are his commandments? Do you know he gives us a whole bunch of new commandments in the New Testament? And he says this. He said, blessed are they that do his commandments. Revelation 22, 14, I'm reading. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in and through the gates into the city. There's, I mean, he already gives us eternal life, but then we have the right to the tree of life too. And I'm not really certain what that's all about yet, but I'll sure find out someday. Amen, when I get to go up there and partake of that tree of life. Do you remember Peter's words? Peter said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Amen. And by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life as well. There's a lot about the tree of life. Proverbs says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It's for healing, a wholesome tongue. You know, when we speak to people, let's encourage them. Let's give them hope. Let's give them righteousness for sure, but let's give them a wholesome tongue, you know, and give them the gospel. It really suggests a supernatural provision of life that God gives to us, to others. It gives life to the children of God, and it's going to be for the healing. Tell me, healing, does our world need healing? Do the nations of our world need healing? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, and it's for the healing of the nation. Amen. You know, when I got saved, I was 19. I don't know if I gave my testimony before or not, but I had a rough upbringing. My teen years were really tough years. And my mom and dad were divorced when I was about 4. But I went with my dad every Sunday. Every Sunday I spent with my dad. And till I was 13. When I was 13, my dad married for the third time. And his wife gave up her children, and she made dad give up his children. And so my dad said, I don't need to see you anymore. Maybe once a year. And so for the next 6 years, I probably saw my dad maybe an hour a year. Either Thanksgiving or Christmas, he would give me an hour or two maybe of his time. When I was 13, I didn't know what to do on Sundays because I always went with my dad on Sundays. So I started searching in my life for God. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know God. And I talked with my priest, and I said, what do I have to do to go to heaven? And he gave me a whole list of things to do. And I left there, and I just shook my head, and it said, it's hopeless. I'll never make it. I can never do all of that. And I just remember going that route for years. And I prayed to God. When I was 19 years old, I went on the Hike for Hope in the city of Rochester. Hope was a medical ship that went around to third world countries and gave free medical help. And I was on a walkathon, basically, raising money for a good cause. And on this Hike for Hope, I met a lady who's now my wife, Mary Lou. And she witnessed to me about Jesus. And I remember graduating from high school. I'm like 18 now. Yeah, 18 at that time when I met her. I think 18, 19. And I was 19 years old when I met her. And she, and I had graduated from high school without hope and without God. I didn't know what I was going to do for a living. the day after I graduated from high school, I got out of bed and I just said, now what do I do? No Odell ever went to college. And so I was no exception to that rule. And so I never planned on going to college. I had big dreams. You say, what did you want to be? What did you want to be when you grew up? I wanted to be president of the United States. You might as well dream big, right? At that time, Richard Nixon was the president. I invited him to my house. I invited him to my high school graduation. Got a nice little letter from him and things. So, I graduated. I went on this hike for hope, and walking up Mount Hope Avenue in the city of Rochester, my Mary Lou asked me a question. She said, do you know about Jesus? And I said, oh, I know all about Jesus. And she said, you know about him here, but do you know him here? And I didn't know how to answer that. And I just said, I don't know. But that provoked me to think more. The hike was over. We went home. I got her phone number, and I called her up after I recuperated from walking 25 miles in one day. After I recuperated from that, I called her up and said, how about a date? And she said, no, but you can go to church with me on Sunday. And I said, I don't mind going to church. I'd be happy to go to church. And so I went with her, but it was a Baptist church. I had never been in a Baptist. I never even thought of, considered, even knew what a Baptist, I knew nothing about a Baptist church. And it went in, and it wasn't a pretty building like you have here. It was just a cement block, ugly building. And the preacher came out with a suit and a black Bible, and he just started preaching. He just let it rip. And quite frankly, I didn't like what I heard. Because he was preaching against me, I thought. But I know he didn't even know I existed. It was a fairly large church, and I just kind of hid in the crowd. So when it was over, I left, and I went to her home, her parents' home, and had a nice dinner and got to meet her family and things like that. The next week came along, and I said, how about a date? And she said, no, but you can come to church with me. And I thought for a second, and I said, okay, I'll come to church again. And so I went to church again with her the next Sunday, her and her family. And the preacher, same preacher, got up, and he just started preaching again. And I'm telling you, it hurt me bad. It hurt me bad, because he exposed me for all my sins. And yes. And I remember getting a little upset, a little bit mad, and yes, pulling her aside and saying, what did you tell him about me for? And she said, tell him. He said, she said, he doesn't even know you exist. You're sitting in the back, and when the last amen, you're out before you don't shake hands with him. You haven't seen him or talked to him, or I haven't introduced you to him. And she said, besides that, I don't know you. How am I supposed to tell him about you if I don't even know you? And I'm like, yeah, she's right.
Smart lady.
And I started continuing to go to church with her every Sunday.
Amen.
Every Sunday. And November the 14th, 1974, it's a Sunday. It was a Sunday evening. I ended up staying the whole day after church, staying the whole day at her house with her family. And I remember about 10:20 at night. And it's getting late. We were sitting at the table, and we got into a little bit of an argument about evolution versus creation. And I was getting into a little bit of a heated debate, because as a good Catholic, you can believe in evolution. In fact, I had talked to my priest. I had called the bishop, Bishop Hogan of Rochester, and I talked with him on the phone, and he told me, He didn't have a problem that his great, 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 great ancestors swung from the tree by their tail. He didn't have a problem with that. And Mary Lou kept saying, well, the Bible says, God says, the scripture says. And I was getting upset with her. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. I came to myself, like the prodigal son. I came to myself and I realized I wasn't arguing with her. I was arguing with God. And I was telling God he didn't know what he was talking about. And that kind of floored me once I realized that. And I got down on my knees on the kitchen floor, 190 Kisslingbury Street in the city of Rochester. And I said, God, forgive me. What a fool I am. God, I'm a loser. I'm a nothing. And I said, God, can you save me? Would you save me? Would you forgive me of my sin? Would you come into my heart and know my life? Give me a second chance, God. And I got up and I was weeping and crying, and I don't think I ever cried a day in my life until that night. And it was really strange feeling tears come down, because I don't think I ever cried before that I knew of. And I just, I said, I gotta go. I gotta go home. I gotta go. I had a little studio apartment on East Ave and Meg Street. And I started driving home. I got on the inner loop and I almost got into several accidents. And I'm like, this is nuts. This is crazy. I either gotta suck it up and quit blatting, or I gotta pull over, get off the road, and let it go. And so I decided to do that. I pulled over and I cried and I said, God, I want you to know I meant what I said back there at the house. I said, and I don't know what I was supposed to say. I don't know if there's magic words I'm supposed to use. I don't know if I was supposed to use a cross and crisscross and whatever myself or not. All I know is I need you in my life. I need you right now. I need you 5 minutes from now. I need you 10 minutes from now. I need you an hour from now. I need you tonight. I need you tomorrow. I need you each and every moment of every day. And God, if you will save me, if you forgive me, if you give me that second chance in life, I said, I promise I will live the rest of my life for you. And I can tell you that at that moment, I felt such peace. I felt such joy. I felt so light. I had never known what love was.
Right.
I never knew what love was.
Yes, thank you,
Jesus. I had girlfriends in high school and they would say, oh, I love you. And I'm like, okay. You know, maybe they wanted to hear it back, but it's like, I didn't love them. I liked him. I appreciated company and things like that, but it's like I didn't know what love was. I asked my mom one time. I said, Mom, don't you love me? And my mother would reply, of course I do. Don't ask such a stupid question. So I didn't ask her again. But when I got saved, I found someone who actually loved me. Heavenly Father, someone who cared for me, and someone who promised he would never leave me, he would never forsake me. He said, I'll be with you always till the end of the world. Amen. I'm telling you what, I was the happiest guy in the world after I got saved. And you know what? I'm still happy today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
By the way, I married that girl.
Amen.
And a year later, or some shortly after that, we actually got engaged and we got married that next year. And what a blessing. Been to church with her every Sunday since.
How about that?
Hallelujah. Amen.
What a blessing. Yes, sir.
water baptism doesn't save you, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Do you know him today? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, I pray you would get that taken care of soon. Don't wait, don't put it off. He's coming back again, just like he promised. I not only believe in God like Abraham, I believe God and his word. Amen.
Amen.
By the way, if you think what I taught was heresy tonight, because your preacher teaches something else, you follow your pastor, okay? And because he's the man of God that he put here for you. Amen. He's a blessing. He's a great guy. I wish he was here tonight. I could say hi to him and shake his hand. And amen.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
The Lord. I'm so glad there's such a good crowd like this here
amen.
Tonight, too.
Amen.
That encourages my heart.
Amen.
Sure, when the preacher's away, sometimes, you know, the mice will play. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
And, you know, when I'm not at my church, they just kind of like, oh, we can take the night off. The preacher's not here, but I'm so glad you're here tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
I hope you got helped. I hope you got a blessing. I hope. Can I tell you something? Your testimony, your personal testimony is very important. It's very important. You can argue with me what I taught about paradise and Abraham's bosom. You can argue with me. That's okay. You got a right to be wrong. That's perfectly all right. But you can't argue with me about my testimony and what
Amen.
God did for me. And nobody can argue with you about what God did for you, too. Thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate
you. Thank you.
Thank you for giving me a little space and a little time and some good fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, you've been so good to me personally and my wife, and we're grateful and thankful for that. I'm so thankful, Lord, for the salvation that you gave through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my soul. Lord, I haven't gotten over it yet. And it happened way back when I was 19 years old. I'm still as excited about it today as I was then. Thank you, Lord, that I had the opportunity to share this tonight with this church family. Lord, bless them, encourage them, strengthen them as only you can.
Yes.
Lord, help them to use wholesome words when they deal with people. Lord, that they might have the opportunity to win some folks to the Lord Jesus Christ and partake of that tree of life as well when we get to heaven. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the love that you have and show for us. We pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.